Live online, virtually. We appreciate your presence, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that God gives us. We're going to read from a portion of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll read it to you starting in verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, follow along. If you don't have your Bibles, I'm pausing. 1, 2, 3. Okay, I'm ready to start. Verse 1, here we go. Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundations of the world. Let's jump down to verse 9. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. One thing in studying Hebrews, you have to understand background. And background, the book is deeply rooted in the Old Testament. He's speaking to Jews, and there is a thought that the Jews in the book of Hebrews were contemplating going back to Judaism. And so Paul, we don't know who the author is. I say Paul, but there's many speculations of who the author is. It's unknown for this book. But as we sort of lay the groundwork here, on what we just read, I want to read you some Old Testament scripture. So it comes from, the background is Numbers 13. Numbers 14 is the scripture. So you follow along. If you don't have it, I'll read it to you, and hopefully you catch it. And if not, write it down, read it back up. It's a great portion of scripture in the Old Testament. It's about going into the promised land. And in verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran at the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the sons of Israel. These were their names, and I don't need to list their names. It's 12 of them. They're sending one man out of every tribe that's going to go out. And he's sending them out to go to the Negev. If we turn to verse 18, there in Numbers chapter 13, he says, go into the Negev. The Negev was south. He was sending them south. And this is what he posed to them. He gave them some questions to answer as they went out exploring. Number one, see what the land's like. Whether the people who live there are people who are strong or weak. Are there a few? Are they many? How's the land in which they live? Is it good land? Is it bad land? How the cities and where they live? Are they fortified? Or are they open camps? How's the land? Is it fat? Is it lean? Are there trees in it? Make an effort. And then get some of the fruit of the land and bring it back. And then verse 25, They returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. And there was two responses. Two responses out of those 12 men. There was the majority response, and then there was the minority response. We know the story. You that are listening online, you're saying, come on, get going. Okay, I'm trying to move here. Thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And that this is its fruit. This is its fruit. We could just stop right there. Awesome. But then that three little letter word, maybe you don't see it there, it's in nevertheless. But it's really saying but. The but. The people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev. The Hittites and the Jebusites and Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. It's just as you said it was, Moses. Man, it's full of milk and honey. It's incredible, the fruit. Here, we're bringing some fruit back. It's just awesome. But, when they said but, God was mad. He was mad with that response. You got to remember, he did everything he did to deliver them out of bondage in Egypt. He performed miracle after miracle, plague after plague, to sway Pharaoh's heart, to move them out and to deliver them out of Egypt. He gets them out of Egypt. They go across the Red Sea. They watch as the sea is parted. They get onto the other side. They see an army that's coming behind them. Probably then they eyewitness the waters just crash back over them. Probably some of those soldiers washed up on the shore, dead. Who knows? They go through the wilderness. They don't have water. They want to go back to Egypt. Keith Green had a great song. So you want to go back to Egypt? I won't sing it. I won't do that. But, you know, so God at this point is upset. He's mad at their response. You see, they had an opportunity to mix faith. They've seen all kinds of miracles take place. They've eyewitnessed what God does do for them. They've heard the promises that God wants to take them into the promised land. But they struggled because they didn't mix faith with what they heard. And that majority opinion, be careful, majority opinion sometimes is not the right opinion. There was only two that stood out of the 12 that said, hey, listen, I think we can believe that God has given us the land. Let's go up and take it. That's Caleb's response. Numbers 14, that's Joshua's response. Let's go take the land. It's ours to be taken. God has called us. We could just trust God and know that He's behind us. We've heard the word and what it says, and we can believe God for what it says. Now we come to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. The Israelites in Moses' day and those in David's day, before I get there, I'm going to just, this portion of Scripture ties a lot out of Psalms 95. So just make a note, Psalms 95. Because in Psalms 95 is where you get this whole dialogue in throughout chapter 4 and throughout chapter 3. Psalms 95, David's time, is presented in those scriptures. I'll read it to you real quick. Oh, come, let us sing for the joy of the Lord. Let us shout joyfully in the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hands are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God. We are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hands. Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the days of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they had seen my work for 40 years. I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, truly they shall not enter into my rest. They had a promise of rest. This is David's day. Today, this is King David writing this psalm. He's looking back to the ancient times where the children of Israel had, today is the day of salvation. We can go take that land. That land is ours. I've given you the promise through the word of God. I've given you covenants. I've made covenants with you. And you are my people. And I'm your God. Today. A rest can only be attained by faith. A rest can only be attained by faith. You have to mix faith to have rest in your soul. We all know, as we've come to the Lord and fell on our knees and asked forgiveness of our sins, asked Him into our heart, asked the Holy Spirit to come live inside of us, accepted Him as Lord and Savior of our life, that at the moment that He did that, and I believe every person here that is listening to this voice, hopefully those that are watching online, and you have made that decision where you have decided to accept Christ into your heart, at that moment you entered into a rest because you made a faith decision to accept what our Lord and God has done as He bore our sins on the cross. He became the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. He was a sheep that was led to slaughter, and He did not open His mouth. He had one purpose, that was to execute the Father's plan. And when He was finished executing that Father's plan, He rose from the dead, and now He sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for each one of us. That's our God. That's who He is. That's our Savior. We mix faith, believing in what He did for us, knowing that He can redeem us. By the way, He's the only one that can redeem us. If you think that you can redeem yourself, Well, that's what religion does. That's what all religions do. They're a stair step trying to get to God. Let me go another level. Let me make sure I'm pointed in the right direction. Let me make sure I'm praying this. Let me make sure I'm saying that. Let me make sure I'm doing this. Let me make sure that I'm going here. I'm giving this. I'm doing this. It's all an attempt to get to God. God says, you don't, listen, it's very simple. It's a faith decision to believe what I've done for you. And when you make that faith step, there is rest. It's rest. Verse 1 of Hebrews 4, therefore let us fear. If while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. By the way, there's a danger. There's a danger that I would come possibly short of that rest. There's a danger that possibly I've mixed faith in my life and I've received. Phase one, I received Christ. Hallelujah. I'm a saved believer. I'm a child of God. I'm a kid of the King. He's adopted me. He's hidden me. He's redeemed me. That expression of faith justifies, not because of my works, but because of what he's done. But there is a danger. The danger is that I don't continue to mix faith in my life and express a faith on a consistent basis that is mixed with God's word. And I get a nugget in a day and I hold on to it. And I get another nugget in a day, a promise, and I hold on to it. And I build on those things and I build on those things. But if I'm in danger, the Hebrews author is saying, listen, children of Israel, I did all these things for you. I took care of you in the wilderness. I've given you an opportunity to go and possess the land. But you give me this word, but. And you decide not to mix faith with what you could achieve and what God wants to do for you. Oh, I tell you. And in a day and age that we live in now, that was Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14. Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 3 is filled with Psalm 95, where David says, today, believers, at this present time, today is the day to express faith mixed with the Word of God and watch how God will give you a peace that does pass all understanding. It's a simple truth. Verse 2. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. They didn't mix faith with what they heard. They didn't unite or mix faith with what they heard. And so it didn't profit them. Does the word profit you when preached? Oh, you have to be at church. Physically or virtually. you have to enjoy the gathering. You have to enjoy the people, the commonality, the oneness in purpose, in vision, in love, in harmony, in friendships, in compassion, in redemptive stories. You've got to enjoy that. It didn't profit them. God wants the Word of God to profit us. I know you're hearing my voice, and I know you may be watching on TV. God wants the Word of God to profit us. He wants Scripture to mean something to us. He wants the preaching of the Word, the teaching of the Word, the times that I get into the Word, the times that I get on and I pray to God, the times that I fellowship with another member and just we share something that God's put on our heart. God wants us to be profited by the Word of God. I hope the Word of God profits you. Now listen, there are all kinds of things to take those joys out of the way. We've got all kinds of things. If we're not living in a modern day, wow, pandemic, civil unrest, looting, just people feeling like they're disenfranchised, people not feeling love. We have all kinds of escalation of people that are lonely, people that are committing suicide. We have all kinds of things going on, mental illness, alcoholism, drug addiction. We've got all kinds of things where the families have been broken and now, you know, kids are growing up without moms or without dads or they're into a system now with foster systems and we got all kinds of things going. Everybody has some hurts, some habits, and lots of hang-ups. We all have them. Nobody's excluded. I definitely don't pretend. I agree with it all. But I can tell you there is some medicine. I'm going to tell you there is some medicine here, and I believe it is mixing faith with what you hear. By the way, you have to hear it. And I'm not just saying preaching of the word. You actually have to open the pages and read it. Maybe take time to study it. I'm listening to a book on take. We've heard pastors share about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, an incredible German intellect, scholar, theologian. He said, I purpose to read the Scripture in the morning. I purpose to read the Scripture in the evening. And then in a week, I purpose to take one portion of Scripture and just meditate on it and digest it and masticate it and figure out, observe it, dig into it, lean in on it, study it, come to some conclusions on how it speaks to me and how can I apply it in my life every single day. I was listening to that and I was like, ooh. Listen, we don't have any sports on, guys. There's no football. There's no baseball. It's coming, but, I'm sorry if I won't say it. There may be basketball coming. There's no sports. I know we got Facebook. I know we got the internet. I know we got all kinds of distractions. There's email. There's this. There's that. There's all kinds of things we can occupy ourselves with. But God says, listen, can you occupy yourself with what I've given? through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so to build my faith up and to have it profit me, I have to take it in. I have to take it in. And that's why 1 Peter 7 says, we cast all our anxiety on Him. If we're worried, we're fretting, we're worried, we're upset, we cast our cares on Him. Come unto me, Matthew 11, 28, all ye that labor and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I'm gentle, humble in heart. And you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is what? Easy. My burden, pretty light. I'd like to go on. I'd like to keep going. But we're coming to an end here. I'm winding it down. Verse 3. For we who have believed, enter that rest. For we who have believed, enter that rest. Verse 9 talks about, and I'll read it to you, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. This comes out of Genesis chapter 2. God's created 6 days. He's formed the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, God looked. He says, wow. This Sabbath rest was not, boy, I'm tuckered. I'm tired. It's been a long day. These 6 days, this work and creating heaven and earth and people and all this stuff. You know, man, I'm tired. No, that's not what that Sabbath rest means. That Sabbath rest means it's finished. It's complete. It's done. Hallelujah, it's done. Just like He's completed the work in you. Hallelujah. It's done. But verse 1. Please understand there's a danger. You take for granted that finished work that He's completed in your life. And you don't continue to edify and build up what He's given you. Because boy, He's given us a lot. He's given us a lot. Close with this. Closing. Ding, 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 ding. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read it to you. But remember the former days. I think it's verse 32. I'm at. Remember the former days. When after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners, accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. If he shrinks back, my sons, has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Have confidence. Have trust in what God is doing in our lives. Maybe you're, this season has maybe caused you to doubt, worry, fret, shrink back, struggle. Get it. We're in unprecedented times. Understand it. But let's have confidence in the one who sets at the right hand of God, who ever lives to make intercession for you and I. He's praying for you and I. Those watching verbally, he's praying for you as you watch. He knows what you're struggling with. He identifies in all points of what is going on in your life. And he says, have courage. Have faith. Trust that I've got these things in control. Amen? All right, bless you. If you're listening today and you've never, maybe you have no confidence. Maybe you're watching and you've never asked Christ into your heart. You've never took that step and said, wow, I need you. I need you. And maybe this is this opportunity. Maybe God is just tugging. The Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart, and you want to know how to get to know this so-called Jesus. It's a personal decision. You're not joining a church. It's a choice where you're asking the Son of God to be your Lord in your life. You're asking him to come in to forgive you of your sins. It will take some humility that you have to confess that you're a sinner and that you've fallen short of his glory and that you will never be able to line up with his righteousness. But I tell you, it is the greatest decision if you would ask him to come in, and he will give you that gift of eternal life. If you've done so in your private times, when this broadcast ends, before you go to bed tonight, and you ask Christ into your heart, I challenge you. You pray to him. You watch what he'll do for you. I challenge you. You ask him, and he'll honor your request. He won't barnstorm in, though. You have to open your heart. You have to say, hey, come in, please. He's not going to break the door down. You have to volitionally make that choice. And if you're here tonight and you're listening to this truth and you want to do that, would you just simply ask him, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I accept what your blood did for me at Calvary. And I ask that you would make me whole. Live inside of me. And I commit my life to you. If you've done that, would you write us? Go online. You're watching us online. Tell us. Email the office so we can get some material to you. Or maybe you're here and you've been a believer. It's not about phase one, accepting Christ. But maybe it's phase two. Have I really exercised faith in the Word of God on a consistent basis? Or have I put other things in front of God? I ask. I challenge you, as it is a challenge to me. Forget you guys, I'm preaching this to me. It is a challenge to be constantly under the umbrella and just submissive to what God's Word wants to say to me in my heart. So we just ask that the Holy Spirit would continue that tug and do that work in our hearts. And Father, bless us as we go. And thank you for this opportunity. And maybe if for the offering, please don't forget you can send your checks payable, Living Grace Ministries. You can send them online. You can donate online. If you're here tonight and you want to give, offering is in the back. We'll accept an offering, and we're so thankful for what this church body does. Bless you. Have a great night. You are dismissed. Thanks for coming.